All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R. Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday.
For Monday?
July 8th. How are you? How is it going? Wow, this sounds really good to me. I hope it's sounding this good to you. I think I nailed it. What's up with these levels? It's fucking phenomenal. Some douche is now going to Twitter me. Or tweet me, whatever.
Actually, I thought the treble was a little too high.
Oh, so was your mother when she was pregnant with you. You fucking drunk fetal cunt. Years later, just walking around criticizing people. And you know what? It's not your fault. It's because your mother, first of all, she was a whore. Spread her legs. No protection.
All the leaves are brown. Leaves are brown. And her legs are spread.
And her legs are spread. Oh, I could sing that whole song and annoy the shit out of you. That's what I want to hear from next week. Peoples whose mothers were whores and they drank during pregnancies. I want to hear what you think about world events. That's what I want to hear. Is that what you want to hear? Yeah, it is. It is what I want to hear. It's my podcast. It is what I want to hear. I'm loving Twitter and I fucking hate it, by the way. I got to stop reading comments. There's always people fucking correcting you. You know, I got this European tour coming up and someone was saying, hey, you doing any of the smaller cities? And I was like, no, just pretty much all. I said all the capitals. And it was like 10 countries and one fucking country. It wasn't the capital. And I got like 20 people.
Actually, the capital of Scotland is not Glasgow. It's actually Edinburgh.
And they're probably just being nice. They're probably actually in reality in their heads. When they were typing it, they were actually going like, I'm not trying to be a douche. Just letting you know, it's not Glasgow. It's Edinburgh. Just trying to help out. This is just me over here in the back, over here in my corner of the internet, just trying to help out. That's probably how they were typing it. But I'm such a negative douche that I hear it in my head as, oh, I'm actually fucking, you know, that's how I hear it. That's basically how I hear anybody telling me that I'm doing anything wrong. Are you like me? Isn't that exactly everybody all of a sudden? No matter what language they're speaking, like some fucking Asian person, right? Or some Asian motherfucker, right? To keep it clean. Call back to a special, whenever the fuck I did that one. Came up to me and was speaking. Oh, God, how dumb am I going to say? If he was up there speaking Asian, if he was talking in his native language, Korean, whatever, and it sounded like, you know, right? I would hear that. Like that, if he was talking to somebody else. But like, if he felt I pulled into his parking spot, it immediately would just be like, "Oh, duh, I got your tire," which is just immediately sound like, "Ah, this guy's a cunt." You know, even if I stole his spot, and even if I knew he was right and I was wrong in the moment, I'm such a dick that I would block out that voice in my head, going, "You know, this guy's right. This guy is right." You know, insulted him a little bit, you know, you kind of took his spot. I would still block that out. But the only thing that I can take positive out of it is as far as any sort of like level of maturity that I have gained throughout my adult life is I at least now I recognize that I do that. And I'm actually I've gotten good enough that within 10 minutes
of actually whoever I just called a cunt and driving away, I actually kind of admit out loud in the car, to myself, going like, you know, like I was right, Bill. You kind of were you were kind of the douche. So, you know, not trying to get on your bad side, but just next time, let's try to, you know, try to hear the other person, try to apologize. So anyways, this is the Monday Morning Podcast. I like saying it that way. This is the Monday Morning Podcast, like when they say the Ohio State University, which is one of the funniest bragging things ever. You're bragging about a state school. When you fucked up in high school and you live in Ohio and you can't go to any real university, then this is the college that you end up at. Oh, they love that one in Michigan. But University of Michigan, that's a state school too, right? Those are such weird schools, like University of Michigan, right? It's a state school. So anybody did a keg stand instead of studying for math goes in, and they live in Michigan, you end up there. That's why their stadium. That's why the fucking stadium is so big. You know, 100,000 fucking people. Do you think it's because the football programs is that good, or because that many people got a C in math in Michigan? That's my question for you. But if you live out of state, it's like $9 zillion, and you got to be like a fucking, you know, half a physicist to get in there. And you know what's funny? I don't even know what a physicist does. Do they study physics? Oh, look at that over there. Is that a physicist? I don't know. How would you know? I'm a physicist. What's the deal? Sorry. The fuck is a physicist? Is that physics? Are they the ones who study the inertia? Wow. This is new level of ignorance. Do you like that about this podcast? That rather than seeing me grow as a person, I'm slowly regressing, you know? Maybe you were already ahead of me. Maybe you were a couple steps behind me. But now that all of you, it's like I'm that guy, like it's a foot race, right? And I came out of the track, out of the block sprinting, you know, and now I'm grabbing my side and you guys are just going around me. You're still going to come in seventh. You're not winning a medal, but you beat me, right? Makes you feel better, doesn't it? Well, what does that say about you? When we come back, we'll be talking. I went for a bike ride. Go ahead and laugh. It's a great thing to do. Trying to keep the weight down, you know? Because I read somewhere on the internet, you know, and it was typical research on the internet where you have a question and you're just like, you know, why is the moon round? Why is it round, by the way? Why, if it wasn't just a block out there, what would happen? Oh, Jesus, these 80s stand-up premises that I'm just throwing out here. That would probably still work in the outer reaches of fucking Iowa. Any question you fucking have, you go, you Google it on the internet, and then immediately you click on basically the first fucking website you find, you read it, and you just take that as law. At least I do. That's what I do. So one time, I don't know how I came across this, but they said basically every pound of fat on your body is another 5 miles of capillaries that your heart has to pump, which is why even just being 5-10 pounds over can significantly, I did use that word and I did pronounce it correctly, significantly, that's a 5-syllable word, everybody, decrease your lifespan. You know, I mean, how would you like it if every day, right, you had to drive an extra 5-10 miles to work? That's probably not a big deal, but who's a pound overweight? You know, who's 2 pounds overweight after a certain age? Everybody's at least 10, 15 pounds over, right? What's 15 times 5? Real quick, that's 75, people. What if you had to go an extra 75 miles to and from work every day? What kind of a fucking mood would you be in? Huh? How much would your kids be running for their lives when you came walking up the door, up the path to the door? That's what your heart is doing every time it beats when you're that fucking heavy. Just that heavy. And then forget about these ticking time bombs that are walking around 30 pounds overweight, but they're still lifting weights. Dude, I'm all right. You know, touch my gut, dude. It's fucking solid. Yeah, it's because your fat is calcified. It's so entrenched there. It has squatter's rights right in front of your stomach, you dumb fuck. I love fat people who sit, they get fucking fat, and then they tell you how fucking hard their stomach is. And they think it's like abs. It isn't. It's the fat is fucking jammed in there so tightly. Like back in the day when they used to pack people into subways. And they used to, that was literally a job. Your job was to fucking just lean in on the people and pack them in. You know what I mean? Oh my God. That was the worst time in society for claustrophobic people slash the greatest time ever for perverts. You know? It's just the entire spectrum. Complete fear to absolute ecstasy, depending on who you are on that subway train. But anyways, that's what it is. So all you fatties out there who sit there and your fucking stomach is harder than your head, that's not abs. That's not you like, oh, well, you know, I'm so fat, every time I do a sit-up in bed, it's like I got a 45-pound, you know, weight. Remember that? You do that back in the 80s? You put, like, it wasn't enough to do sit-ups. You always had to add weight. If you're doing dips, they had that shit that literally looked like it was like a fucking metal tea bag hanging off of you. You'd put the chain around your waist, and then you'd hang weights off of that. Dude, he's fucking doing dips with like fucking 225 hanging off his balls, kid. Right? All that dumb shit. That's what fat people, they think. I know a lot of fat people right now. Like, why are you always coming down on us? I'll tell you why. Because it's Kick a Ginger Day, and I've never seen a fat person come to my rescue. You don't give a fuck about me. I don't give a fuck about you. That's how it works, fatty. All right? With your swollen feet. This is so unnecessarily mean right now. I don't even know how I got onto this, but I have to see it through. Because I got an hour to do here, people. All right? The fuck, I was talking about pack. Oh, yeah. So, I think these fat people with the hard stomachs, they feel like when they just sit up in bed, you know, and they make that noise as they go to sit up, and they just like, aah! Right? They think that's why their stomach's so hard, rather than it's just jam-packed with syrup and nougat and pancake batter and all that other fucking gooey shit, you know, that they eat. I'll tell you right now, I think they should just get all those, just get all the fatties and just get them out of the fucking country, you know? You're bringing us down. We've had it. We had it with your kind. They should stick all of you fatties on a fucking island. I want to run for political office at a very low level, preaching like what sounds like racism or nationalism, but it kind of affects everybody. Like there's fat people in every race, except the Asians. There's very few Asians. Every once in a while you see a fat Asian and you just know he's hanging out with like Americans. You know what I mean? It's like there's no way you got fat eating that fucking great diet that you guys have over there. I don't know what it is over there, but like people are in fucking shape in Asia. You know? I don't know about the Russians. With all that vodka that they're sucking down. How many more people can I offend in the first fucking 10 minutes of this podcast? Oh, 12 minutes in. Okay, that's okay. So I got a new 10 minutes to offend people. Yeah, I think they should just run for office. And just be like, I get the fatties out of town. I get those fucking people. You know those people you say hello and they don't say hello back. They just smile. And it's a fake smile. I know I've talked about this in my podcast. There was somebody when I lived in New York used to do that. And I fell for it like the first 67 times. I'd be walking down the hall and this lady would be walking the other way with her fucking kids. And I always just be, I'd be like, hey, good morning, or hey, hello, or good afternoon, whatever the fuck you say, right? Big fucking wave. Hey, fellow human being polite. How are you? Right? And she would always do the same thing. She'd tilt her head to the side like she was going, aw. And then she'd do this smile, which she wouldn't show any teeth, just like the Jay Leno smile. And then her eyes would like squint up like she was looking into the sun. Big stupid red lipstick. And every fucking time I was just like, oh, what if I just fucking punched her right in the face, made her kids cry, and I just laughed. I didn't laugh. I just walked away. You know, I'd still be affected. There'd be a part of my soul that I lost when I did it. But I'll tell you, in that moment, catch her right as she closes her eyes, you know, like a fucking Ulf Samuelson move. Don't even drop the glove. Keep it on and just blast her right in the face. And I wanted to do that every fucking time. And then finally one day she walked towards me and I was walking towards her. And she actually started to anticipate me saying hello because we're looking right at each other and I'm in my head just going, I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying hello to this bitch says hello to me. This is another thing that makes you die early, you know, is fucking literally sitting in your apartment, your little ass shoebox of apartment in New York, plotting, scheming, conspiring. You're going to fucking not say hello to this bitch the next time you see her, you know, as you're eating a bacon, egg and cheese and adding an extra couple of miles for you. Had to beat every couple of times, right? So anyway, she comes walking at me. I'm walking her. I'm like, I'm not fucking saying hello this time, you know? And we got right to the point where it's like, who's going to blink? And I timed it perfectly. She anticipated me saying hello when she started to tilt her head. And I fucking did my impression of what she did. And I, of course, did it completely over the top. Like, I literally laid my head on my shoulders, squinted my eyes. And I made this ridiculous face and continued to walk. And she never looked at me in the hall again. And this is the genius of it. She just, it's not like she knows what the fuck she looks like. I'm so self-involved, I assume she totally understood my point, what I was trying to make. You know, like, say hello, stop making that stupid face. She probably looked at like, what the fuck is with that guy? He has some sort of mental tic. I don't want him around my children. But you know what? It made me feel better. And you know what? That's what this podcast is all about. Hey, people, have you ever heard of TiVo? Well, where the hell you been? Well, you got your head up your ass. TiVo's the greatest. Especially, you know who can really appreciate it? An old fella like myself. You know why? Because back in the day, I got to explain this to you guys. Back in the day, when you missed something, you just missed it. It was over. Or at least if you didn't see it in the movie theater, that's it. You missed it. There was no Netflix. There was no something.com that you're watching on. I don't know. It was over. You missed it. Evel Knievel was going to jump over 20 buses, but for some reason your parents wanted to take you to Pewter Pot to go get a muffin, and you missed it. And the next day you were down at the bus stop, and everyone was talking about it, and you were a man without a country. And you knew eventually it was going to come around to you. And they were like, did you see it? And you were like, no. What? You didn't see it? No, I didn't see it. I was getting muffins with my parents. And then just a rain of book bags would just be smashing you over the head. And that's what happened. But thankfully, that never happens to children anymore because of TiVo. Back in the day, TV was weirdly had to watch. You only watch a show at a certain time. And if you missed it or even part of it, you literally had to wait for it to go into reruns before you could see it again. TiVo has totally changed all of that. And while other DVRs exist, they're not as awesome as TiVo. You know why? Because if you have cable TV lets you watch your shows wherever you want. With TiVo Stream, you can watch on your iPad, all over your house, and even transfer your favorite recordings and take them with you. On an airplane, waiting in line at the DMV, dentist office, you can be sitting there watching all of The Sopranos. TiVo makes other DVRs look like they were designed by the Soviet community. I like this copy. Only TiVo reaches both cable and web to find any movie, any show, any video at the press of a button. All right? So there you go. From the couch to the kitchen, from the minivan to 35,000 feet, TiVo makes TV 100,000 times better. So why don't you do yourself a huge favor and go get some? Go get yourself some TiVo. Have you heard about that TiVo? Oh, my God, I want to get some. All right, let's do one other here, then we'll get back to it. Dollar Shave Club, everybody. How many times have you walked into CVS and said, hey, I need the Triple Blade Plus. Can I get one of those? And they go, yeah, that'll be $68. And you're like, $68? They're like, yeah, that's why we keep it locked behind the case here, like it's some vintage guitar, rather than some piece of plastic with a poor excuse for metal to drag across your face that's going to be useless in 5 days. You know, probably end up floating around in the ocean poking out some porpoise's eye. Why is that thing so much money? You know why? Because it's a scam. Well, finally, the cavalry is here when it comes to shaving. Dollar Shave Club, everybody. Getting a good shave can be a real pain in the ass. Searching through 50 brands, making new blades, matching new blades to old handles. Bullshit features where your razor doubles as a flashlight, a toothpick, etc. $20 for new razors? To hell with that. Go to dollarshaveclub.com to get high-quality razors delivered to your door for just a couple of bucks a month. Isn't that great? No longer standing in line at those long lines at CVS where you're behind anyone from a doctor to some crack addict waiting to get try to find the one person working on the floor to unlock the razors. Now they deliver them right to you for a fraction of the cost. They've made it simple. High-quality razors, 100% guaranteed, sent on schedule, so you never have to think about it again. Every month you get a new pack. Every week you change your blade, and it costs a fraction of what you pay at retail. You want to support this show, go to dollarshaveclub.com/Burr or click on the Dollar Shave Club banner on the podcast page at billburr.com. There you go. Look at me. Look at me. Saving you money. Saving you money. So, it's been a hell of a week, everybody. It's always been a hell of a week. You know, if you try to stay up on world events, there's always something crazy going on, right? Over in Egypt, you know, where the Arab Spring began, as far as I can remember. You know, they elected a president, and within a year, they're like, you know what? We don't like this guy. Why don't we have a new election? And then the new guy's like, no, 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 I'm in here. I'm in here. I'm not leaving. And they go, oh, yeah? We think you are. And he goes, oh, I don't think I am. I bet you are. I bet I don't. I bet I don't. Next thing you know, there's riots in the streets. You know? When isn't it a hell of a week? Sorry, can you tell I'm searching for something? Where the fuck is it? Oh, I swear to God. I swear to God, this is the exact kind of thing that just slowly fucking drives me mad. About these goddamn fucking computers. What did I do wrong this time? Ghost of Steve Jobs. Now watch this. I'm going to try to do this move. Did it finally work? Did it finally work? Oh, here it is. I got it. Sorry. What did I want to talk about? Oh, I know. Aaron Hernandez, everybody. You know what? One of the fucking hilarious things about Aaron Hernandez's case is I'm fucking sitting here calling up my buddies, and people are so into sports in Boston. Like, the fact that somebody lost their life, that's like on page 19 of this story. I call my buddies back there, and they're all like, dude, now what are we going to do? You know, Gronk's always getting hurt. They traded fucking Welker, right? Who's Brady going to throw to? they're not even thinking, like, you know, sports kind of takes a back seat to this unbelievably, like, bizarre, depressing, sad, horrific fucking story. You know, who gives a fuck if we can beat the Dolphins or not? You know, I don't know. There's a big pity party going on in Boston. Like, oh, my God, this is like the worst week ever. Well, we had the greatest decade ever. All right. And I stand by that. Anybody in any state in the United States, if you want to challenge the last 10 years of Boston sports, bring it on. Bring it on. I want to know one other fucking city that won all four of the major titles numerous times. 3 Super Bowls, 2 World Series, a Stanley Cup, and an NBA championship within 10 fucking years. Went to 5 Super Bowls, 2 Stanley Cup finals, 2 NBA finals. Fucking unbelievable. All right? And all you guys now who are gleeful in all your other sports towns, you think you're going to fucking bug me with your little cunty tweets? Know that I know this. You would cut off one of your fucking sport watching balls to experience half the fucking success that Boston had over the last 10 years. You would take this week of horror. You would definitely trade it. All right? You would do it. You trade in your fucking Mark Sanchez jersey. Dude, I swear to God, Jets fans would take this week just to fucking make it back to the Super Bowl. Do you know the last time the Jets were in the Super Bowl, we hadn't even pretended to be on the moon yet? Do you realize how long ago that was? You know? Richard Nixon was a comeback story. He was like Travolta in Pulp Fiction. That's how fucking long ago it was. Dude, that's another thing. They're going, dude, what if he gets acquitted, right? And then he fucking signs with the Jets. You know? That was actually my thought. Because I don't think, as far as from what I've seen, unless his friends flip on him, or unless they have some unbelievable piece of evidence that they have not introduced to the public yet, what you basically have is a mountain of circumstantial evidence against a mountain of money. And as far as my little experience of watching the court case, the rich guy walks. If he was just Aaron Hernandez waiting for a bus, you know, pimp my ride, I'm driving a piece of shit. Hey, exhibit, can you put a fucking fish tank in the back of this thing, right? If he was something like that, over. Working in a warehouse, unloading trucks like old Billy Redface back in the day. Done. You're going to jail. All right? But you got, you know, fucking pro athlete money. You can walk. You know, some lady on ESPN wrote the dumbest article, was saying that despite the fact of how quickly the Patriots acted once they found out all these allegations against Aaron Hernandez and released him, like, this black mark will always, forever, will stain the Patriots. Like, if for some reason we don't steer the planet into the sun in the next 300 years, there's going to be people 300 years from now still talking about Aaron Hernandez, still thinking about it every time they see the Patriot logo. If that isn't the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You know? When you watch a Carolina Panthers game, when was the last time you thought about Ray Carruth? You don't. Nobody remembers. Nobody fucking remembers. This will be something. Dude, you know there was a guy in the Kansas City Chiefs that killed his whole family and then himself after football? I don't know what. Maybe he got hit in the head too many times. I don't know what happened. You know, I never heard of the story until Len Dawson brought it up. It goes away. Do you know a guy on the Jets used to take his dick out in the Port Authority? He dyed his pubes green and he'd fucking shake his dick at people. You know? And they were so shocked looking at his green pubes. It took the longest time before somebody finally looked at his face, and then they arrested him. And no one ever thinks about that when they watch a Jets game, do they? See, that's my point. You guys can look all this up. This all... I don't know if you find the last one, but the other ones you'll find. Oh, Jesus.
Dude, what? You think if they turned Pedroia into a flanker, they could, with the combination of him and that Jesus freak, they could somehow make up for Hernandez going to jail?
All right. I don't even know what I'm talking about right now, to be honest with you. Hey, this weekend, speaking of Boston, I'm going to be doing the Cape Cod Melody Tent. Why did I just add a syllable to melody? The Cape Cod Melody Tent in Hyannis. Is it in Hyannis? Somewhere down near the Kennedy compound. They sit there spending all their fucking booze money down there. Isn't that what they did? Their prohibition money, their insider trading money. I have no idea what the fuck they did. All I know is don't they have a big yellow house? They go out and they play touch football that turns into tackle football. And then it's this big family fight because they're like a bunch of pit bulls. Or if they fuck that gene out of their family at this point, it's just all watered down. You know, too many weak men and women brought into the fold. You know, you ever think about that shit? Like when people, you know what's the worst thing ever is when somebody gives the son or daughter of a father or mother that accomplished something great, they always give the kid shit, like it's the kid's fault. Like if you're the son of fucking Michael Jordan or the daughter of Amelia Earhart, people will always be like, dude, you're not as good as your father, blah, 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 and they blame you. It's like, it's not my fault that I'm half cut with my mom. You know? My dad can jump out of the gym. My mother trips over a mop handle every fucking 3 days. So I got 50% of that in me weighing me down. I can still dunk, but no, I can't take off from the foul line. That's not my fault. It has nothing to do with my desire or my heart or anything like that. It has to do with my mother. And the same thing with like Amelia Earhart's kid. If she had a kid, I don't know. She probably didn't have a kid. No guy could handle that. Back in the day when she was supposed to be in the fucking kitchen making sugar cookies, she's out there flying around doing better than the guys. That's why he has a dick, see? I'm not fucking that. Her hair's too short. Right? No guy can handle that. I have no idea. Did she have a kid? Did she take him on the trip? Maybe that's why she crashed. You know, the kid was acting up. She was reaching back, trying to slap him in the face like how you could as a parent back then. And she went into the ocean. Who knows? Who knows why these things happen, everybody? I don't pretend to know. And you know what? More importantly, I don't want to know. But anyways, back to the Boston sports things. Boston fans, you know, you're not all crying, but the ones who are bitching, I don't want to fucking hear it. All right? Quit your fucking crying. And everyone else in your other towns, try, enjoy this week as much as you can, because we've been kicking all your fucking asses for 10 years, and you know it's true. At least mostly true. You know? The only people who give a shit is Giants fans. That's just when it comes to football. Right? But some of them are Yankee fans. And I'll take those two Super Bowl losses for what we did to the Yankees in 2004. I'll take that all day long. Now, there's one that will live forever. That, unlike the Hernandez thing, that will live forever. Because you know what's great about it? There's no way to beat it. There's no way to beat it. And even the Bruins lost four in a row in hockey, right? But we didn't have the level of fucking Hall of Fame. It's fucking great. It'd be like if Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and you had DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle all in the same thing. I know what you guys are saying. That's not true. And I say, fuck you. Fuck you in your pinstripe heart. It's true. The way you guys were loaded up with free agents, you couldn't do that back in the day. Back in the day, you had to fucking earn it. As opposed to now, we can go out and buy it, Los Angeles Lakers. You know? Anyways, I love how Dwight Howard leaves the Lakers, and they're sitting there questioning his heart and all that. And never, once again, never did they think, well, why would you want to leave? Why would you want to leave? Gee, what could it be? The fucking 800-pound gorilla. How many great centers have to leave town saying, I really didn't have a good fucking time playing with old what's-his-face over there? How many Hall of Fame coaches have to write books where if you read through the subtext, they're kind of going, that guy's kind of a cunt. It's kind of a cunt to be around. You know, who says that about somebody they won a championship with? You know? This is my impression of a Los Angeles Laker fan as a parent. Their kid comes home. If their kid was Aaron Hernandez and came home and actually admitted to murdering two people and then the third one, you know what the mother and father would do? They would stand up on the coffee table and they would start chanting MVP. All right, that might be, admittedly, that's a little harsh. But I'm just saying, I am less than impressed with the average knowledge of sports that a Laker fan has. It's just fucking dumb. I'm just dumbfounded. Dumbfounded. That not even once did you ever boo Kobe Bryant when he walked off the court on your whole fucking team. I'm trying to think of a major city that would put up with that. I don't know. Anyways, maybe it's the sun. Maybe it's the pot cookies. I don't know what. Anyways, all right, here we go. We got some fucking, we got some letters. All right, Billy Beanbag. There's a new one, Billy Bean. From the Oakland A's, Billy Beanbag. I get it. Beanbag, a revolutionary chair. Dude, how bad was a beanbag for the environment when she threw that thing out? It was made out of this blend. You know, like when they blend like a scotch, not a scotch. Yeah, scotch. Is it a scotch? I don't fucking know. A whiskey. It's a blend, a wine where you pour like a Cabernet into a Merlot. Some real white trash shit. This is like that. This is the chair version of that. It was like a pillow. It was a chair. It was a fat person's stomach. It was everything, right? It was food that astronauts ate out in space. I think it was like filled with like, I don't know, like these little, whatever the fuck you call those things. What are those things that coffee cups used to be made out of and you'd sit there and scratch them and let it go into the environment back in the 70s? before you realized that birds were inhaling it and it was like Agent Orange or minor lung or something, black lung, is that what it was? Gee, I don't know, Bill. You're the one who started riffing on beanbags and realized that you didn't even know what material it was made of. Styrofoam! So they were filled with styrofoam, and then, like, the outside of it was like a blend of, like, plastic, vinyl, and, you know, some sort of treated waste. And then you had the upscale ones where they're actually made out of leather. And my dad, we got a bunch of beanbags. And they were all plastic, vinyl hunks of shit. But his was a leather one. And we used to think it was the shit. It's big fucking. And you'd grab it, right? This is how you set up a beanbag. You'd grab it by the top, like how your mother used to pick you up by your hair before she hit you with a wooden spoon, you know, because you were watching cartoons instead of doing your homework. Back when you could hit children in public or in the safety of your own home when you had company. You'd pick it up. And you give it a shake, right? And then you would just push it right down the middle. And then you'd sit on the fucking thing. And it was horrifically uncomfortable. And it took a good 5 years before people realized it. You know, when people just bought them because everybody else had them. Oh, it's so easy. You can move them around the room. Look how easy it is to vacuum under it. I can pick it up and vacuum. You can't do that with a chair. I wonder where all of those ended up. You know, who gives a fuck, right? Sitting here reminiscing about chairs from the early 70s. All right, Billy Beanbag. Have you heard of Justin Carter? This 19-year-old kid has been in jail since March for making a sarcastic remark. Here's an excerpt from a report. After a Facebook friend with whom he played video games described him as crazy and messed up in the head, Carter replied sarcastically, one imagines, I'm really messed up in the head. I'm going to shoot up a school full of kids and eat their still beating hearts. He added LOL and JK, just kidding, for good measure. For this, he was arrested by Austin police, charged with making a terrorist threat and thrown into prison. He may languish there until the start of the next decade. Get the fuck out of here. Crazy stuff, Bill. This isn't Russia. Is this Russia? I know. See, dude, this is that Snowden shit. This is like all of that. We're just slowly becoming this fucking police state. You know what it is, too, people? You got to stop fucking putting shit down in print. That's just keep it how we used to say shit like that, but we said it on the playground. You know, oh, yeah, like I'm going to go shoot the principal in the head. That's what you do. You don't fucking write it down on the god, you know. By the way, was there any sort of backlash against Facebook for basically ratting out all U.S. citizens? You know, turning us all into the man, you know? Are you still using Facebook? I barely used it anyways. You know? I still go there and I check fucking emails. But in the back of my head, I'm like, why am I using this guy's cunty fucking, what do you call it? Social media thing here. You know? When he turned the fucking record. How much money did he make to turn and rat everybody out? You know? And I swear to God, if you're one of those fucking people who's dumb enough to be like, well, if you ain't a terrorist, you know, I don't, you got nothing to worry about. Yeah. I have no sympathy for you when I see you in the FEMA camp with me. You know? And that's what I'm going to do. That's the only way that's going to keep the joy in my heart. Is when I'm in the upper bunk and you're in the lower bunk across the way, I'm just going to, for the rest of my minutes on Earth, I'm just going to keep looking at you going, well, you know, you're not a terrorist. What do you got to worry about? Over and fucking over. Until basically I'm beaten to death by the other people in there who don't want to hear it anymore. Oh, that creeped me out. I don't know why this kid's in jail. He's still in jail. I don't know anything about it. I have to know, you know, does he have a weird haircut and a trench coat that freaked him out? I mean, it is Texas. Texas has always kind of been their own deal. You know what I mean? I mean, they kill people in Texas the way they rescue dogs here in L.A. So, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, as far as like population control, it's phenomenal. But as far as their swift, I don't know. I just can't imagine getting put to death for something you didn't do and you're walking down there. Like, how does that work in the afterlife when you go to get judged? Are you allowed to yell at God at that point? Like, when he starts, you know, reviewing your life, you just stand there like, dude, don't even fucking start with me. All right? Just open the goddamn gates already. Okay? You know how this story ends. You know everything, right? Ooh, I know everything. Yeah, you know everything except how to get me out of that. How come you didn't help me? How come you fucking helped a bunch of people and then you just stopped talking to people? You know, hey, let me finish. Where was my burning bush? Where was that? Well, all right then. Hey, here's some inspirational shit here. Somebody wrote some inspiration for the Monday morning podcast. It says, Bill, it's like that thing I read on the internet once said. Plant three rows of peas. Peas of mind, peas of heart, peas of soul. I really hope nobody's eating as I read the rest of this. Plant three rows of squash. Squash indifference. Squash selfishness. Squash hate. Oh, Jesus, there's another one. Plant three rows of lettuce. Lettuce be kind. Let us love one another. Let us grow our own food. Ugh. Why? All of that is great. And if everybody applied that, the world would be such a wonderful place. Why does that make you fucking, you grind your teeth to listen to, though? What it can, you know, that's a great question. You know, at least I consider it a great question. I'm in my own head here, man. It sounded awesome to me. Seemed like a good thought, and then I said it, and I was like, wow. How did I come up with that one? You guys might disagree, but why is that? Who doesn't want peace of mind, peace of heart? But you know why? Because it's a fucking pun. Peace of mind. You know? Squash indifference. A lot of people don't know what indifference means. And I think I'm one of them. Indifference means you have... Like when somebody goes, do you want this? You want that? Hey, I'm indifferent. I think, doesn't indifferent mean you don't love it or hate it? You have absolutely no opinion on it whatsoever. I don't know how to be like that. I don't think anybody's indifferent. That's like a higher level of fucking thought in my world. You know? Hey, what do you think about these drapes? Like, I immediately like, you know, they're all right. I like them. They're hideous. I never just look at something like, what do you think about this? I have no thought whatsoever. I don't know what that is. What do you think about this band? Yeah, they're all right. That's the closest I get to indifferent. You know, Bill, why don't you look up the fucking word first before you make, this takes time. Fucking reading, you know? Get a life. Speaking of rescuing dogs... I was out with the lovely Nia yesterday, and we were driving around looking at houses. It's like something we like doing, but it sucks because then they're always better than your house because you never go out and look at houses that are the same as yours. You're like, hey, let's go out and look at shit we can't afford, right? You go in the house, you're like, oh my God, this is awesome, and just with every house, you're just kind of going, I live in a fucking tree fort, but it's still fun to do. You know, and I feel like I'm actually helping the owner of the house because by going in there and I'm walking around, you know, anybody else who's in there, they're thinking like, oh, shit, this guy might make an offer. I got to jump on this. You know, that's how I justify me just going in there and looking in people's closets. So anyways, that's what we were doing yesterday. And so what did we do? We went to the grocery store. Oh, yeah, to get some shit for dinner. And next door, there was this place where they had, rescue some dogs. So she's just like, oh, let's go over and look at the dogs. Like, I don't want to go over there. I don't want to go over there and look up like some chewed up fucking animal that's going to make me feel fucking horrible. And I'll be laying in bed thinking about the dog. Like in No Country for Old Man, when the dude sitting there laying there and he thinks about that guy that was asking for water. And he, whatever he says, like, ah, fuck it, right? You're going to go back there. And next thing you know, you got some psycho chasing you. I mean, I don't know. That's not going to happen. But I'm just saying, I'm going to be thinking. I love dogs too much that I can't go down and look at them because now I'm going to be just fucking thinking about them. So she's like, why? I'm like, fine, fine. Just stop doing that, right? So we go over there. And we walk in, and there's this fucking pit bull that's like two weight classes up from our dog. Big, classic, fucking beautiful pity head. And I can't even tell you what color this thing was. It was like, it wasn't caramel. It was like this almost sandy kind of color. With no white or anything, just no patches, just that color. The fucking dog was beautiful. And it had to weigh every bit of 80 pounds, all muscle, and it was an absolute sweetheart. Like, you came in, and the thing is just fucking doing that thing where it's wagging its tail so hard, it looks like it's shaking its ass and it's walking sideways as you come up to it. And it just buries that big head, like, right in your lap. And then at one point, I'm petting the thing, and it just fucking just leans into me. Like, I was squat down like a catcher petting it, and it wanted to be pet more, so it just sort of relaxed its body and leaned into me and literally, like, knocked me over. And I fell down, and then it went over and started, like, licking my face. It was the greatest fuck. I'm sitting. This all basically happened in about 11 seconds. And then all of a sudden, this lady comes walking over, and the most annoying, I'm talking to a dog voice ever, just comes walking in and goes, oh, yeah, look at this guy, look at this guy, look at this guy. That's fucking doing that. And it was like my eyes started watering and I just fucking stood up and walked away. Nia said something like, okay, and then that happened. She said something loud enough that the girl heard, but she couldn't hear anything. And whatever the dog's name was, like Franklin, she was like, oh, Franklin, you doing that shit, and he just stood up and just fucking walked away. So now I'm over the other side of the pet store buying shit bags, as Michael Rappaport called them back in the day, shit bags. I'm buying those, and within 2 seconds, this woman left with that dog. Like, walked in, saw it, and just left with this 80-pound fucking dog. And I had this such mixed emotions. Like, I was excited that the dog got rescued. And I was bummed that that was the person that it rescued it. You know? And I don't know why. She loved dogs the same way I did. She did a great thing. Like, why should I be bummed? She just fucking, you know what it was? It was I wanted to keep playing with the dog. You came in with your fucking Jerry Lewis voice from hell. Did I just say from hell? Yes, I did. It's the 80s comedy week. All right, what are we? Are we 47 minutes in? Jeez Louise. All right, let's continue on here. Oh, I started to mention that I went on this bike ride, by the way. And for those of you who live out here in L.A. or you're coming to visit, you can actually ride a bicycle all the way up to the Hollywood sign. And it is one of the hardest bike rides I've ever fucking been on. You keep seeing the sign, and every time you go around a corner and you just think, this has to be the last fucking corner before I'm up here. You know? And it just isn't, and then it isn't, and it isn't, and you just keep fucking going and going and going. It was like the ascent, to use a word that's beyond my vocabulary. You already had to go all the way up the canyon, just get to the beginning of, like, okay, now we're going to get to the summit here, right? To use mountain climbing shit. Just that ascent. You already fucking rode like a half hour just to get up there. And then this ascent is, I swear to God, maybe 20, 25 straight minutes of, I don't know what it is, 45 degree angle. It's fucking brutal. And then in some points, especially right at the end, when it gets even like 60 degrees, it's fucking ridiculous. And I was beyond gasping for wheezing. I wrote and I stopped right, you know, where they have the radio antennas. You're actually above the sign. Got off the bike and grabbed the chain link fence and was going for fucking like five fucking, I thought I was going to pass out. But you know what? I probably knocked off some miles on the capillaries there. So anyways, but you know what's great? As you're going up, there's all these guys dressed like Lance Armstrong coming down and they all give you words of encouragement because they just did it, you know, and I'm going up there on a mountain bike made for a lady. It's the one I got for Nia that she never fucking rode. And I love riding women's bicycles, you know? Like, women's bicycles, they're designed the way guys' bicycles should be. I always thought they had that reverse. Well, basically, they shouldn't bang their clit on something metal. Although, knowing those psychos, they probably fucking enjoy it, you know? harder. The way the woman's bicycle is fucking, like, they're so concerned about their dresses and you looking up and seeing their clam that, they, once again, seeing their clam is, you know, hiding their clam is more important than somebody else's smashed testes. I go up there. It's not like the old school Schwinn one where it went all the way down to, like, your ankles, but it's angled to the point where I can get my feet down and old Ricky Bobby are going to be okay, you know? So I don't have a problem with it. I have sort of a an androgynous bike that I ride. You know, it's a mountain bike, but it's not a guy's bike and it's not a woman's bike. It's kind of, it's, you know, it's a little questionable. I have the don't ask, don't tell Huffy that I ride. And I'm not going to apologize for it, you know? I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. All right, got my ass kicked. Bill, I'll keep this short and sweet because I know how bad you are at reading things. You know, I can't even argue that. He goes, I live in a small city, roughly 90,000 people. What do you live in, China? What's that, a little village to you? 90,000 fucking people? That's gigantic. The nightlife district of the city has more or less 10 different bars or clubs. By the way, before people are dicks to me on the internet, I mean, that's gigantic if you say that you live in a small town. Well, I guess a small, he said city. All right, you're right. I'm an asshole. Okay, here we go. The nightlife district of the city has more or less 10 different bars or clubs. Well, how big are they? If there's 90,000 people in there, you got to think at least half of them drink. 10 bars or clubs. You got 4,500 people in each one. That doesn't make any sense. Last weekend, I left all my friends at one bar to go meet up with a girl at another. While there, I was heavily intoxicated and grabbed the lady's ass I was meeting. Apparently, two drunk guys didn't take too kindly to this and decided to attack me and gave me a good beating. Somehow, I think you left some details. Did you grab the ass of the woman you were talking to? Were that her two older brothers and you were too hammered to realize it? Anyways, he goes, it's hard to show my face back in this club again after I got beat up. Should I just man up and go in again next weekend like I own the joint? And if I see the two guys, should I get my group to give them a good ass kicking along with me? Jesus Christ, dude. All right. First of all, it's not like you lost to one guy. You lost to two people. You know? So I don't think that's a... I think the embarrassing thing is that you grabbed a woman's ass. I need to know more details about that. So let's just say that these two guys were jealous because they wanted to fuck her and you came in. Something was going on. Somehow they were connected to that woman. All right? Well, here's the first lesson. All right? If you're going into a bar to meet some lady, some strange lady that you don't have a relationship with, you know... That's, to use my analogy last week, that's an away game. Okay? Would you go into the bleachers wearing the other team's fucking jersey by yourself? You need, next time you go in there, you need to bring some friends. I think you're just going in there and you're asking for trouble. And one way or the other, that you go back in there with some friends, you're going to end up in either jail or the hospital. One or the other. That's it. Either way, you're going to end up in court. Either suing because you don't have a fucking, you know, you got a droopy eye now, or just, it's just, you don't want to do that. You don't. All right. You went in there. You were drunk. You know what, dude? This is really on you. This is on you. You were careless with yourself. I'm going to blame you the way they used to blame rape victims back in the day. All right. You weren't dressed like a whore, but you were doing the dressing like a whore version for being a guy. You walked in there all sloppy. You walked into somebody else's bar. You grabbed one of their women. You started squeezing her ass like you were testing out some shaman. Right? And then you got beat down. This should be a life lesson for you. All right? If you're going to do some Donnie Brasco bar shit, you got to have a crew with you. And you have to be sober. And don't grab her ass until you talk her into fucking, till you're back in her apartment. That's when you do the ass grabbing. Do not go into a bar, especially, you know, within a it's a division rivalry. You know what I mean? Like, as a Patriots fan, you would never go down to the Meadowlands and start grabbing some Jets chick's ass. That's it. You're going to get a hibachi over your fucking head, and vice versa. Vice versa there. So there you go. There's your advice. Revenge, that's not, you don't want to do that. It's just going to escalate. And then what do you think is going to happen? You're going to go down there and kick their ass and they'll be like, all right, I guess it's even. Then they go out and get a bigger crew and they got to top your ass kicking. Yeah, but by then, you know, it's like Anchorman. You're in that alley fight, right? And then Brick kills somebody. All right, next one. So, I wouldn't go back to that. All right, just take the ass kicking. It's a funny fucking story. Just tell it in a colorful way and leave it at that. I was a fucking idiot. I walked into somebody else's bar, hammered by myself. I start grabbing this girl's ass. And next thing you know, I'm admiring the woodworking of the floor. Like, wow, look at this. Is this a brass rail that you know, footstep? How do they keep it so shiny? You know, as you're laying there on your side, watching them kicking you in the kidney, you're looking in the reflection of that brass rail. All right, Bill, we got it. You're on the floor. Popcorn in your hair. There's a million ways to tell that story, sir. Don't go back down there. You don't want to do that. All right. Hey, Billy Bin Laden. There's another one. Another good one. Imagine if you started using a puppet to mix things up. Oh, for my act. All right. You know, the same way Dylan went electric. You could lose a few fans, but you'd own the Midwest and Central Florida. Dude, do you realize how fucking funny this is? Is this written by another comedian to have that sort of insight? Do you know how fucking true that is? If I kept doing jokes, but I introduced a puppet, I already know what I would do. I thought about it a long time ago if I ever used a puppet. What I would do is, forever, the puppet is always smarter than the puppeteer. I would just stand there berating the puppet. And I keep telling it to shut the fuck up. All right? You don't say anything. You don't even fucking think unless I come up with the thoughts. How fucking dare you start giving me shit with your little feet? Go fuck yourself. That's how I would do it. As opposed to having the puppet giving me shit and then I'm rolling my eyes, you know, like the husband on a sitcom. Like, well, my wife is smarter than me. I'm just the dumb fat guy. Right? Anyways, he goes, here's the thing. You'd probably be hilarious despite the ridiculousness of it all. You'd lose your mind, too. Being up there every night, having a conversation with yourself, constantly feeding an unhealthy mental state. Well, that's kind of what I do on the podcast here, sir. He goes, I guess I should ask a question. So what would your puppet look like? Would he wear overalls or a suit? Would he be an animal? Or would he even be a he? It was a female puppet. You could give it noogies every time she was acting up. Yeah, see, See, the direction that you're going, that's the only way to go now with the puppeteering, whatever you call it, being a ventriloquist act. It's just, It's just so gone in that direction where the fucking puppet's smarter than you. You know, it's funny. Someone's going to steal this idea.
They're going to be absolutely brilliant. Taking an old genre and turning it on its ear.
You know what's funny? Somebody's probably already done it. Is I just in a roundabout way just said I had a brilliant idea. Do you like that? Are you still sitting here? Are you nauseous at this point? No, that's what I would do. And then what I would do is I would team up with the dummy and I would start trashing people in the audience. You know, although, you know something, I don't know. I don't know. You're talking about puppets here. I don't know where to go with that. Where do we go from here? Let's. Oh, I gotta read a little more advertising here, everybody. We got to keep the lights on here. Ah, where the fuck is it? Is all the capitals in fucking Europe? Okay, we got that one. You know, you'd think I would be smart enough one of these fucking weeks to just have the only things open, the things that I need, but I don't. I have everything up here. I'm looking at eBay and some old Ludwig bass drum. All right, here we go. Here we go. Happy holidays. All right, eVoice, everybody. Having your own receptionist would be great, but paying their salary is really expensive. That's why thousands and thousands of entrepreneurs are now using eVoice to enhance their image, work faster, and make more money. You can try eVoice right now for free when you go to eVoice.com. Use the promo code Bill. With eVoice as your virtual assistant, you get your own toll-free number and dial-by-name directory. All your calls will be professionally answered and routed wherever you want. eVoice even types all your voicemail messages and emails them to you instantly, just like with the real receptionist, but without the high cost. With eVoice, your toll-free number and virtual assistants start at $10 a month. That's it. You can operate like a top executive, but stay lean like a startup and blow away your competition. eVoice has been mentioned as a key tool for today's businesses in both Inc. magazine and Forbes, so you know it's good. I believe in eVoice, and I want you to try it for free right now for 30 days. Go to eVoice.com, promo code Bill. That's eVoice.com, promo code Bill. Or just go to the podcast page at BillBird.com and click on the eVoice banner right now. All right, and the all-time classic, Stamps.com, everybody. You have to know this one by heart. If you're still going to the post office, why are you? I'm going to read this one for the last guy in fucking Bulgaria that doesn't know you don't have to go to the post office anymore. Do they have the post office over there in Bulgaria? Huh? Capital Sofia? Isn't that right? Oh, Jesus, he's worldly. He knows a couple of capitals there. Stamps.com. There's nothing instant about going to the getting postage from the post office, driving there, parking. It's a waste of time. So use Stamps.com instead. Instantly get postage for any letter or package right from your desk. Stamps.com is so quick and easy to use that even a dummy like me can use it. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com will send you a digital scale that automatically calculates the exact postage you need. They'll even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. No guesswork, plus it's convenient. Take care of your mailing and shipping wherever you need to, 24/7, right from your own desk. You'll never have to go to the post office again. I use Stamps.com to send out all my DVDs. I've never had a problem with it. Right now, use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, for a special offer. No risk trial, plus $110 bonus, including a digital scale, and up to $55 free postage. All right? Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com now. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type Burr. That's Stamps.com, and enter Burr. And finally, the last one, Hulu Plus, everybody. You've tried streaming hit shows on your PC on Hulu.com. Now it's time to try your free trial of exclusive content in your living room, on your mobile devices, on Hulu Plus. With Hulu Plus, you get total control to watch thousands of TV shows wherever you want, whenever you want. Use Hulu Plus on connected TVs, game consoles, Blu-ray players, Roku, Apple TV, PC, or watch from anywhere on your smartphone or tablet on demand at all times. And with Hulu Plus, you can binge on full seasons. Watch your favorite current shows and even full series runs of classic TV shows. It's endless. They've got Community, Modern Family, South Park, SNL, Jimmy Kimmel, Family Guy, and more. Hulu Plus is only $7.99 per month. But right now, they're offering an extended free trial of Hulu Plus. that is only available to podcast listeners. Take control of your TV watching experience. Go to the podcast page at BillBurr.com. Click the Hulu Plus banner for your extended free trial, or go to HuluPlus.com/Bill. All right? There you go. Couple of options there on how to watch TV this week. All right. Let's go back to the letters. All right. Pushover. Hey, Bill, I need some standing up for myself. I need some help standing up for myself. I lived with my mom as a kid, and she used to tell me how bad of a father my dad was, and I would say I never wanted to be like my dad. As I got older, I became everyone's bitch. All they would have to say was, "You're just like your father," and I would do whatever they told me to do. It wasn't just my mom and my sister. A lot of my friends pushed me aside, too. I've since moved out. I'm 23 now, but people still walk all over me, and I'm overly nice to everyone. How do I stop being everyone's doormat? Ah, Jesus, dude. You're describing me when I was 23. Everybody liked me. I was nice. If I met you for fucking 2 minutes and you asked me to help you move and to use my truck, I'd let you. You know? And then when you went to pay me, I'd be like, no, I'm okay. You just got to start doing it. And this is the thing, it's a learning curve, all right? Where it's like, you can't just be like, I'm going to start sticking up for myself. And then the next time you're in a moment where you're supposed to stick up for yourself and you don't, you can't consider that a failure, because you'll at least be conscious. You got to go through that torturous period where you're now watching yourself getting walked all over, and you're going, well, here's that situation again, and here I am not sticking up for myself, which will cause you in the short run to be even more down on yourself. Because before, when it was happening, you were so busy trying to get the other person to like you, you weren't focusing on what a bitch you were being. Now you're actually going to watch it. All right? But know that that's part of the road to success. Anytime you're trying to break a bad habit, you know, you're trying to quit drinking, or you're trying to stop eating late night, and here you are eating again, you're beating yourself up as you're fucking doing it. That's the first steps. Because before, you didn't. You'd just be shotgunning beers, right? Eating ice cream and not even questioning it. So with this shit, what can really help you out is if you write it down. Write down, like, listen, I'm tired of people telling me that I'm just like my dad. You could start with that. Don't tolerate that anymore. Just say to your mother, I want you to stop saying that to me. Because all you've done is tell me how bad of a father my dad is. And so whenever you tell me that, that's like you're saying that I'm a piece of shit. All right? I'm 23 now. It's time for me to become my own man. When you tell me that, it hurts me as a person. It hurts my development. All right? Now, how can your mother say no to that, you know? Easily. She could be a fucking pain in the ass, but I don't know. But just start writing down. Like, you know, I don't know. It's like doing, like, starting out comedy. You don't fucking go up on stage, try to do an hour and kill. You just try to hang in there for 5 minutes. So just take baby steps. And my biggest thing, the reason why I avoided confrontation is because the only way confrontation when I grew up was screaming, fuck you, and getting into a fist fight. So, you know, when I would be down at whatever, bringing my truck in to get it fixed, and I felt like I was getting fucked over, I would be in my head literally going like, well, I don't want to fight this guy, you know? Even if I win, I'm going to have grease all over my face. If he gets a couple of shots in, you know, he's probably going to grab a wrench. Like, I'm literally thinking that when all I'm doing is getting a tune-up, and I feel like, you know, or you know, I remember one time the guy put a new engine in my truck. It just died. The thing died, and I wanted to make it as a comic, and the last thing I needed was a car payment. So it's like I would either go out. Back then you could get a piece of shit for 11 grand. I'd either be 11 grand in debt, or, like, you know, get a new engine put in was like, you know, $1,200, $1,500. So I was like, yeah, why don't we knock a zero off of that? So that's what I did, and I paid the guy, and the fucking cunt charged me for the antifreeze that he put in the engine. He just was charging me for everything. I learned a lot. Never trust a mechanic that has a manicure. And that's not a joke. He had cologne. His fucking nails were like pimp level shiny. So, but I didn't say anything to him because I'm like, oh, this guy's like, you know, he's like 60. I'm not going to punch a 60-year-old guy in the head. Like, and I would be thinking this shit, but I wasn't even conscious because it just been in my head since I could remember. So it's playing on a loop. And a lot of shit, if you finally say it out loud or you write it down, you realize how wrong it is or how absurd it is. And it can kind of kickstart you to start going down the right road. So that's what I would do. And you have to be very forgiving of yourself. Like, you know what's funny is you're a total pushover probably until it comes to looking at yourself. Then you're probably like a fucking drill sergeant and you're always beating yourself up. So I would say, you know, try to find the humor in breaking a bad habit or trying to change yourself. And, you know, you work at it every day. You know, it's like playing an instrument. You know, if you play once every 3 months, you're never going to get better. But if you fucking play an hour every day, all of a sudden, right, you start shredding and here come the girls and they're jumping on your dick. Right. And you start sticking up for yourself. You start the women, they're attracted to that. I'm not talking about being a dick, but women are attracted to fucking like guys who they don't want to marry some pussy. Right. All of them want you to go out there and fucking grab it by the throat and drag it home. And throw it in the pot so they can fucking cook it up. Metaphorically speaking. Last thing I ever want to do is suggest that a woman would want to go into a kitchen and actually be fucking nice for once and make that guy a goddamn sandwich. Sorry. You know what I'm saying. All right. I hope that helped you out. Did I get to everything here? Oh, cop that shot dog. Bill, what's your take on the Hawthorne police officer firing off one into a dog? Fucking bullshit, right? Well, I mean, obviously, I'm not pro shooting dogs, but I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. Look, if you're a cop and you're walking in there and some giant dog comes at you with his teeth showing and is going to fucking maul your face off, you know, I mean, what are you supposed to do? But if that shit that, I mean, I've seen YouTube videos where like the dog isn't doing, it's just barking like, row, 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 because you're in the house, but it's not charging, it's not doing anything. And they have, it's standard procedure, eliminate the threat. And they just fucking shoot the dog. There's a brutal one on YouTube where they went into the wrong fucking house and they got the guy on the floor and then they shoot his dog and they realize they're in the wrong house and they killed both his dogs. It's brutal. It's brutal. But in defense of the cops, those are the ones that people put up on YouTube. You know, I imagine that they could then show you 1,000 of cops going in, getting attacked by once great dogs that their piece of shit scumbag owner turned into a maniac. So maybe there's some sort of sweeping thing that if the dog weighs more than fucking, if you feel threatened by the dog, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. You're a cop. You're going in to arrest somebody. You're trying to deal with, is this person going to pull a weapon out and blow my fucking brains out? I'm never going to see my kid again. And meanwhile, you got this dog. You know what I mean? It's like you can only look at one thing at one time. So, and your life is in fucking danger. I think a lot of people, including animal lovers, we've thrusted. I think it's very easy to not be a cop. And just sit there and be, dude, you know what I would have done? The same way you do, like, you know, when you trash the quarterback of your team. You know what I would have done with my non-athletic ass? This is what I would have done. I would have leapt over the fucking defensive line, you know, and then called an option or whatever the fuck you would have done. So, yeah, I mean, just hearing that story, absolutely devastating. Because I know if the cops ever came in my house, my dog would be flipping out and trying to attack him. And I would be like, let me just put her in the other room. But if they, whatever, were coming in there and I was considered a threat, they have to take me down and then my dog would come at them and then they would fucking shoot my dog. And it would suck. So I'm obviously, I wish there was some way that they wouldn't have to do that. But as much as people want 100% blame cops there, the real culprit that set that whole thing off are fucking assholes who turn their dogs into maniacs. And maybe even someone like myself who doesn't, I mean, I don't know how to have my dog under control. So I just put her in the back room because I don't know, because some fucking asshole fucked her up. You know? Ah, Jesus Christ. I got work to do. So there you go. That is the... oh, you know what I didn't even get to? That fucking... You see that reporter that died? Let me get to... Where the hell is that story here? This writer for Rolling Stone, which I have a subscription to. One of the magazines, few magazines that I actually read every episode, every installment. Michael Hastings. He had a horrible death. He fucking was going down, I believe it was Highland, just south of Melrose. His Mercedes was traveling at ridiculous speeds. He hit a fucking tree, and the whole thing exploded, bursted into flames, and they had to identify him by his dental records. And allegedly, this guy knew... I guess he wrote some fucking article in Rolling Stone where he was over in Afghanistan talking to some higher-ups in the military, and they were saying some shit that they thought was off the record, and he put it all in the article. And there's people, conspiracy theorists, trying to say that his car was cyber-attacked. Now, I'm not even going to get into that, but, dude, how fucked up is the world getting if, like, that's actually something that somebody could do? I'm not saying whether it was done by this guy or not. I have no fucking idea. He might have been hammered. I have no idea. I have no fucking clue. I don't know anything about it. But I'm just saying that the fact that somebody could hack into your computer and cause your car to speed up, and there's nothing you can't shut the car off. This is why I don't know that I don't believe that. It's just like, as evil as that is, we got to eliminate this guy. Isn't there a zillion other ways to kill him without doing that? Like, what if he slammed into like a fucking minivan with a, you know, a married couple and their 3-4 kids? You know, there's got to be, you know, can't they just spray some mist on him? You know? Just walk up to him in a mall like, hi, sir, would you like to try this fragrance? And you just spray it on him. And then the guy, like, you know, 10 minutes later, he's trying on some slacks. He just keels over. You can't just do it that way. But anyways, is this true? Can they actually do that shit? And this makes me feel glad that, you know, half my time out here, I drive around in a classic car, you know? Because not like I'm any sort of a threat, but what I'm saying is I just would think if you had the ability to do that, some fucking nerds would just do it just to do it because it would be funny. Just speed you up for a second and then slow you down just to freak you out. You know? Like, do you remember back in the day when this is like pre-internet fun? What you would do is you'd take your garage door opener, right? And you would drive around the neighborhood and you'd point it at every garage until you found somebody that had the same one as you. And back in the day, they just had it wasn't sophisticated. So not only yours opened, not only yours, it opened the other ones too. So you'd eventually find somebody that had the same garage door brand as you, and you could open and close their garage. So at least you could in my fucking neighborhood. So you just drive one person nuts. You just drive by and you just fucking, and every once in a while we just open it and I don't know why we would do it. We were assholes. But so using that, if you could fucking do that with cars, wouldn't like these people like, you know, hack in to steal like credit card numbers and shit? I mean, wouldn't there be somebody just doing that just to do it? Like you're bored? Was this the dumbest part of the podcast, everybody? Did I stick the landing starting off with ignorance? And then, why wouldn't they, well, fuck, you know what, the reality, if I ever book a commercial, I'm going to be, you know that commercial where the adult sits there with all the kids and they go, you know, what would you do if you had a zillion dollars? And the kid's like, but they're made out of candy. Yeah, we could have hot fudge, waterfalls and shit. I would be sitting there right with them, except it wouldn't be like the basketball one where they were like making fun of the fact, like I would be like, you know what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm a moron, everybody. Well, all right. Well, that's the podcast for this week. I hope it made you feel better about yourself, at least your intellect. I am going to be, as I mentioned, I'm going to be at the Cape Cod Melody Tent on Friday. Saturday, I'm at the Hampton Beach Ballroom Casino. And then Sunday, I'm in down Newport, Rhode Island at the Newport Yachting Center. All right? Two tents and an attic. That's what I'm playing this weekend. I can't fucking wait. I always play Hampton and Newport. I've never played the Cape Cod Melody Tent, and this is where the one and only time I ever saw George Carlin. So this is a very special gig for me, and there's still a few tickets left. I'd love for you to come down there and share that experience with me and blah, 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 blah. All right? Okay. So here's the outro, everybody. All right. Now that the show's over, don't forget to support all the sponsors. A quick recap. Join the 1,000 entrepreneurs who use eVoice as their personal receptionist. Hulu Plus. You want to start watching your favorite hit TV shows right now. All of that shit's on the podcast page. And finally, Dollar Shave Club. There's no reason to pay all that money, everybody. They're going to send you blades every month. You use one a week. Nice, fresh shave. Your side of your face smooth as a baby's ass. All right? That's it, everybody. That's the podcast for this week. Go fuck yourselves. As always, thank you for all the emails. Thanks to everybody who's been coming out to my shows. And thanks to everybody who went out and saw the Heat again this weekend. I believe it came in third place. And it's made a bunch of fucking money. And seriously, thank you for going out there. And thank you for all the kind words everybody has said to me about the stuff that I did in the movie. It meant a lot to me. All right, that's it. Go fuck yourselves. We'll talk to you next week.